Many of you are surely wondering why I have summoned you at this hour.
It's time for the big interview!
All right, boys, prepare to be dazzled.
That's right, it's big. It's the big names, the big news, the biggest stories. It's the next big thing. What's the big deal? It's the big interview.
What's going on here? This is big news. We need coverage of this.
Money Life brings you the big thinkers, the top experts, the brightest minds. With the big interview, you can stay informed about all the financial matters that are important to you, all in one big package.
Oh, boy. I've never got a package this big. I've always wanted to have a huge package.
Did my taxes pay for this?
The big interview. Sit down, strap yourself in, and get ready to learn.
Your mind is beginning to work. It's entirely due to my influence, of course. You mustn't take any credit.
Well, what we want your mind to be beginning to work on is what's going to happen next with the Fed. Because, of course, on Wednesday, we got big news that we expected to get, truthfully. I don't think anybody was surprised, but at the same time, the removal of the word patient does not mean the insertion of the word impatient, and in fact, my guest basically describes what's going on as continuing water torture. My guest is Doug Roberts. He's chief investment strategist at Channel Capital Research. He's been on the show many times. He's the author of Follow the Fed to Investment Success, and of course, right now, it's an important time to be looking at that. He is, you can learn more about his firm at channelcapitalresearch.com, and he's on Twitter at Doug S. Roberts. Doug Roberts, thanks so much for joining me on Money Life.
Chuck, always a pleasure to be on.
Water torture, continuing. You know, I don't think a lot of people consider what the Fed has been doing to be water torture, unless perhaps you're a saver hoping that somehow you're going to get something in a savings account or a yield. But functionally, what you're saying is, hey, great, so the language changed, but nothing else did. And even when it does, it's not going to be happening in any sort of rapid movement. It's going to be torturously slow, right?
Mm-hmm. Essentially, what you're talking about, Chuck, is we've had a preoccupation with kind of, if they drop these words, suddenly there's going to be clarity on what the Fed's new moves. Now they come up with a new set of words. First, it was a considerable time that was dropped, but then they substituted the word patient. Now the word patient has been dropped, but basically they've substituted new words, reasonably confident. So the real question is, has anything really changed? And it hasn't. We are still believe that the Fed will raise rates. We're uncertain as to when that will occur or even if that will occur, and basically the degree to which it happens. Now, given that Wall Street values certainty among everything else, traders can then either go short or long. This is literally like Chinese water torture. They're in purgatory. They don't know what to do, and it really is a question of trying to forecast really where the Fed, what the Fed is going to do, and that is a day-to-day reaction to the news. So we see continuing volatility with possibly good news being released, but in this type of environment, good news is bad, since it increases the odds of the Fed raising rates even more so. And, you know, we see the market go down. But then when bad news is released, you know, the opposite happens, because in this environment, bad news is good, because that may mean that the Fed may hold off raising rates slightly.
Okay. So does this mean that, you know, the expectation was that the Fed would remove the word patient and that 6 months from the day patient was gone, we'd see rates rise?
That was essentially what people were forecasting, is that somehow this uncertainty would end and the Fed would give us some clarity as to when and how much they would be raising rates. And in that sense, the market got what was expected, but not what they wanted, which is there was no more clarity after the announcement than there was before the announcement.
Okay. So you're not booking a rate increase in September?
No, actually, I think it could actually be even longer, because the key thing to look at is really the underlying factors which are driving the Fed. You know, right now you have the entire world going on all cylinders, increasing QE, and really the United States is the only economy that looks like it's going to tighten. So right now that leads to a huge dichotomy. Now, given that we are a free trade world for the most part, despite not having certain free trade treaties with certain countries, but that things tend to spread and we are not an island unto itself, this may mean that the weakness that is occurring overseas might be spreading here. And actually, the key thing to really look at is one of the Fed forecasts itself. I think that's really the big news that came out earlier, that the Atlanta Fed is now forecasting that GDP increases for the future have decreased substantially in just the last several weeks. And that is going to make the Fed very, very reticent to raise rates. The real danger could be that if something happens, the Fed is really locked into a situation similar to what we had in 2007, where they can't go the other way quickly enough, and you could be in a situation where the recession starts to take hold, really, without the Fed reacting strongly enough to cushion it. That's the real danger that nobody's talking about.
How does that wind up playing out? I mean, that's the danger that nobody's talking about, but if we see that, since nobody's talking about it, If somebody wants to consider that as a danger, which obviously you do, but my audience, it's probably the first time they're actually hearing it. How does that manifest itself? If that danger comes to roost, what does it look like?
I'd say what you start seeing is basically things start to deteriorate fairly quickly. Right now, what we've seen is we've kind of seen basically a bounce down for a month or two and then really a rebound. So it's kind of like you're bouncing up and down like a beach ball, as I've used the analogy being before being pulled underneath the water and then popping up again. In this case, the beach ball is pulled under the water, but it doesn't pop to the surface. It just continues to sink. And at that point, since the Fed operates on a lag, it can't really start, clicking in stimulus immediately. It takes a couple of months for the stimulus to start to kick in. At that point, the Fed can't turn around quickly enough. And the real danger that you could have is since, the banks themselves are, in no better shape, from an international point of view than they were, when we had the financial crisis in 2008, is that there's a problem that occurs overseas that suddenly starts to impact really a major U.S. financial institution, and that starts to have a domino effect through derivative contracts, through a variety of other things. And basically, the way you'll see it is you have to look at liquidity in the market, and it just starts to dry up. Everybody starts really liquidating and going toward riskless assets, which in this case would be treasury bonds, very, very quickly.
Okay. Do we wind up seeing the rate-sensitive investments and the rate-sensitive products starting to factor any of this in? I mean, we talk every week with Greg McBride from Bankrate.com, and we're always looking at mortgage rates and savings rates and everything else. And he's been talking about how everybody has been looking at what could happen. But since you're looking at a potential downside that most folks aren't, do we wind up in a situation where anything really changes until the Fed actually winds up showing its hand?
No, I mean, I think right now that's essentially the problem and the frustration that people are experiencing. There's plenty of liquidity in the market, and even though we've been hit with a lot of these variety of weaknesses that are appearing in them, economically, the United States is still the best house in a bad neighborhood, particularly with a rallying dollar, absent what happened after the rate announcement, after the FOMC announcement. And also with the fact that you're dealing with negative yields around the world in some cases, and the United States still has the best yielding investments. So as a result of that, the Fed may be withdrawing liquidity from the market, but it seems like much of the QE that's occurring overseas is flowing into the U.S. market and making up for it.
Does it change any of the QE plans that we're seeing overseas? Now that they have that much more of a look, and we've talked about on the show, if the idea is don't fight the Fed, well, this Fed is getting to where you may not be fighting it, but it's not going to feel as comfortable. And the foreign central banks, their equivalents of the Fed, are more accommodative. So do we think that it winds up doing anything that makes them act in any way and makes them that much more accommodative, or foreign markets that much more attractive?
Foreign markets, it's interesting. Even though they're stimulating overseas, much of that is flowing into the U.S. market because we're the best investment alternative. the real danger that you have is there's more transparency with U.S. central banks than there is, let's say, with such the ECB, Bank of Japan, certainly the Chinese central bank as well, and that you can have something that kind of pops out of the woodwork overseas that nobody's seeing. If you want to, something that could occur that nobody here has any idea. I mean, a good example of that was back in 2008 when AIG came to the Federal Reserve and said, if you don't give us some liquidity injection, we're going to create a domino effect which can take out most of the U.S. financial system. Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke was totally unaware of it and totally blindsided by it. That's the real danger that you have in this scenario, is that something like that pops up. But needless to say, what I tend to find is that liquidity, even though it changes rapidly, you can still see it coming, and that's really what you have to look at. And right now, the liquidity still looks good.
So there you have it. It's not much ado about nothing, but it's much ado about something that's going to take a long time to play out, still, even with the news yesterday. Doug Roberts, thanks so much for joining me on Money Life to lay it out for us.
Thanks very much for having me on, Chuck. Always a pleasure.
Doug Roberts is the Chief Investment Strategist at Channel Capital Research. Get more information at channelcapitalresearch.com. You can follow Doug on Twitter. He's at Doug S. Roberts. All right, we've hit the halfway pole on the March 19th edition of Money Life. That means we've got a lot more to go, and we will get to Senior Focus next, and then the Money Life Market Call. Stick around. We're living the money life and having fun doing it.